Empower Radio presents The Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected. Break through the illusion of separation, explore the infinite field of possibility, and make connections that inspire. Now, here's your host, Dr. Julie Krall.
Hello and welcome. You're listening to The Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected. I'm Dr. Julie Krall. Hey, listen. Do you hear it? Do you hear Earth calling? Every one of us is living through a historic time, one of environmental and ecological transformation, and Earth itself is a participant. As human beings, we have a calling to participate in this transformation of life that is unfolding before us and with us. We have a calling to walk this beautiful Earth together, to participate in our own and in the Earth's transition into a global human community. Carolyn Mace said, "There's not one living human being whose survival is not intimately woven into the exquisite ecological systems of this Earth, all of which are designed to support the whole of life." And she said, if she could, she would make the book, Earth Calling, essential reading for every single person drawing a breath on this planet. I invite you to draw a breath, take a few deep breaths. Bring your awareness into this moment. Open your mind. Connect with your heart. And settle into your essential self as I welcome our guest. Ellen Gunter is a journalist, spiritual director, and climate activist whose lectures and writings are marveling the world when it comes to environment now. And I want to introduce an amazing book called Earth Calling. Welcome, Ellen.
Thank you, Julie, and thanks so much for having me on today. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm really happy to have you here and really get into some beautiful aspects of the book that I'm really excited to share, that maybe things that our listeners out there aren't really hearing when we're talking about the environment right now and what's going on in the world. And what that is their participation and what they can do. But first, Ellen, I want to start with our perennial question here on our show, which is, what does all things connected mean to you?
Well, I love, one of the reasons I love the title of your show is that that is exactly what drew me to write this book. It was this lightning moment of awareness and recognition that I had, that everything that was going on, all the verbiage, climate change and fossil fuels and what's happening to our water and our soil and our food and the rising seas and just everything, the drought, the floods, the wildfires, everything that is in our headlines today, sad to say, they're all part of the same thing. And they are, to me and to Ted, my co-author, what this indicates is that that connection that we have to, you know, to Mother Earth, to what gives us life and sustains us with every breath, every mouth of food we have all of our lives, is, it's broken. We have a shattered connection. And that's what the book goes into in the, you know, in the early parts. And so what the book is really geared to do is to teach this very thing that your show is entitled. It is that we are all connected, and this is how we're connected, and this is how you get reconnected if you're sensing this yourself.
Mm. I love that. Thank you. And in fact, the chapter on reconnecting with the Earth is my favorite chapter in the whole book, and we're going to get into that. But let's talk, let's let our listeners really know a little bit about you here, because your life's work and passion just oozes from the book. It's so beautiful. And I'm curious, how did you hear Earth Calling, and how did you get where you're at today?
Well, it's, you know, it's a long journey, and I want to encourage people who of all ages, I don't care how young you are or how old you are, it will come in its time to you. And for me, it hit me when I was 60. I wasn't a kid, and I was, you know, way along in my career and all the so-called productive years. And I was, Ted and I have been friends for a number of years, and he asked me to come and help him write a book about what he does, which is this incredible kind of landscaping that just calls to people. It literally calls them to be outside. He has a way of finding energy vortexes in people's yards and in their residences. And he just has a way of healing the earth that surrounds people. And I was very captured by this. So I said, well, take me out on a couple of your jobs. So I was up in Maine visiting him, and we went out, and he said, you know, I just want you to help me write a little pamphlet that would show people how they can do this themselves, how they can practice ritual, how they can embrace the earth, how they can go outside and stand and walk around on it and begin to feel what that connection is like, really tactily. So we'd kind of delved into it, and I said, you know, we both kind of looked at each other after a few days, and we said, this is way bigger. But, you know, I think that's the way our spirits lure us into deeper things. It's kind of, I call it spiritual submersion, where you think you're going in for one reason, you get hooked and drawn into something that you might not have ever dared to do. And that's what happened with this book. And so we said, oh, my God, this is exactly what is going on in the world today. And it's all the same thing. It's all connected. It's all about this shattered connection, this loss of our devotion and love to this earth that sustains us. How can we look at all these things and not ask ourselves, what in the world happened? Where did the wheels come off the road here? So I woke up in the middle of the night one night. I was really struggling with what do I do with this? And I, of course, I'm praying about it. I'm meditating about it. And I woke up in the middle of the night, and I sat straight up in bed, and I fired up my laptop, and I sat down, and I closed my eyes, and I typed out a 17-page outline. I never looked up once. I was literally reading the inside of my eyeballs. And what I came up with was this 17-page outline, and that outline became this book. And that's how my calling happened. And so what I strove to do in this book was to teach people the baby steps. First, the history of how we got here, and then what's your response going to be? It might be completely different from my response, but everybody has a point of entry. There are 7 billion of them on the earth right now.
Well, that's one of the quotes that I love about your book too, and I'll share that toward the end of our program today. Thank you for that.
Sure.
The background of really how that emerged. And it feels that way. When I read your book and when I see it, it feels like it just moved through you and you heard this. You like stewarded the information in this book onto the pages, if that makes sense to you. I hope it makes sense to our listeners.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the first part is incredibly packed with incredible history. I love how you do that. We're talking about that disconnect with, you know, what went wrong, where we're at, how we are where we are. And then the other part that is beautiful about this book is your sense of spirituality, the eco-spirituality that just comes through, that really is about all of us and our human soul and this connection. What's the part that feels so moving and different from the message that's out there in the mainstream is that, number one, you're doing that soul connection and that deep work for our listeners and for the readers of the book. And then you're also giving really specific prescriptions of how we can reconnect to the earth. Let's talk a little bit about the spiritual component first, Helen.
Sure. Well, you know, my sense is that I do have a very spiritual vision of the earth. And I remember when I wrote earlier that I had done training with Al Gore's group in San Francisco some years ago. And much to my great amazement, he began the lecture and teaching of this slideshow with this quote. He said, you know, we are in a moral dilemma, but we're also in a spiritual crisis. And people around me kind of, you know, like, oh, I don't want to talk about God, you know, that kind of stuff. And he said, and he looked around at everybody and he said, whether or not you have a religious life, you have a spiritual life. And he kicked the whole thing off with that sense of, you know, this is a spiritual issue. You have a spiritual connection. How could you not? There are reasons why that the Bible, you know, and I'm not pushing any kind of religion or specific religion at all, but the references, the Bible begins, it doesn't begin on a mountaintop. It begins in a garden. Because we are the essence of earth. Adam came from dirt. He didn't come from, you know, something that was pulled out of the sky. We are literally earthlings. And so we begin from the earth. There's the old thing about you come from the earth and you go back to earth. You're, dust to dust, earth to earth, dust to dust. And that's quite literally what we are. So how could we not have a connection to that? We understand the physical connection to our parents, to our siblings, to our nations, to our, our neighborhoods, to our schools, our teams, everything else. But we ignore the fact that we are from the earth and we go back to the earth. And the earth nurtures us. And every single living thing on the earth is an earthling. And we have a connection to each one of those things. Everything on the earth is alive. Even rocks are alive. There isn't anything that doesn't have life. And we share this earth with every creature and everything that goes from, being microscopic to being towering over our head. So of course it's a spiritual connection, and it speaks to us. It informs you. It teaches you. It calms you. There's a reason why when you go for a walk, it stimulates your creativity. It settles your soul. It calms your heart. It opens your eyes and lets you see things that your senses get enlivened. They get perked up and educated in ways that nothing else does. It's a quiet, invisible connection, but it's very, very powerful.
Mm. Well, you give lots of examples of that very thing, and even the topic, Earth Calling, that book, we just feel something. There's something sensory about that topic, that title. And where did the title come from?
It came from, it was just kind of a spontaneous part of our conversation. Ted and I were talking. We talk about calling a lot, and calling is not the same as occupation or career. It has to do with your heart and your soul. It is, you might have a calling to be a doctor, and that's fine. But a lot of times what calls you in life, what you're born here, what you're born for, what your destiny is, has nothing to do with what you do for a living. It is what feeds your soul and what you're here on this planet to do. So I believe very firmly that one of the reasons we're here is to respond to the calling of our planet. And how that manifests is, is as different as, seven billion differences. But as we were talking, calling and calling, I'm called to this and I'm called to do that. And we said, this is really, what we got was a calling from the earth. The earth literally called to us. It got me out of bed in the middle of the night. I don't have any other explanation for that. I don't know where it came from. So I can only ascribe it to the divine. And it was like dancing a choreographed dance. I knew exactly what I was doing, exactly what I needed to include. I was guided to the books I needed to read. I knew when it was something that was off topic. And it was like following a path. And I think that is the essence of calling. It literally, and heaven has your name, and it calls to you. And so we were called to do this book. And I believe everyone has a calling to participate in this, to take on whatever the job is that is part of their destiny here on this planet. I don't think it's an accident that everyone on this planet is here now. Every one of us is exactly where we're supposed to be. We were called to this time, not the future, not the past, but this time. And there's a reason for that. So find out why you were called now.
Mm. Ellen, your words are so powerful. And that in itself right there, that invitation to all of our listeners is really potent. And when I think about it, a lot of our spiritual teachers now are talking of the divinity, our connection to divinity, but not just this God source creator, but of the divinity in creation. And that's one thing that just really, you paint a beautiful picture of that it's all divinity. And here we are in this garden. So thanks for that.
Oh, you bet. Thank you.
When I look at the book, there's so much we could cover here, but I think that one thing that you do that's a gift is really give our listeners some concrete and specific examples of how to reconnect with the earth and what that really means. And I know we could literally go page by page through that chapter because it's so powerful, But maybe you have some highlights or some of your favorite things that you like to speak to audiences when you say it's time to reconnect to the earth.
Yeah. Actually, I have a couple of things I highlighted in the book. If it's okay, I'll read a couple of paragraphs. You know, a spiritual practice, this is on page 251, if you've got a book or you want to mark this for later. A spiritual practice is a singular and personal commitment, and that's what I'm talking about in this book. It's having an earth-based spiritual practice. It must fit your own spiritual needs. Its power is in its regularity, and the sincerity of your commitment, not in how much time and energy you put into crafting it. It can be as simple as a pause for prayer at some point in the day. Some find it most meaningful to start each morning or end each day with a short inspirational reading followed by a few minutes of prayer or meditation. Others commit to regular service to others, either on a global or a local scale. While it's helpful to start with someone else's ideas of what this practice should consist of, like spiritual training wheels, with time and dedication, your own sense of what you need will rise. Begin with the following prayer. Oh, excuse me, I'm handling my book here as we're doing it. You can substitute heaven or the universe or divine spirit or another form of address for God if you wish. God, let me hear you call me. Show me the reason you gave me life at this time and in this place. Let me know the way I am being called to serve. Help me listen. Thank you. Amen. Now, reconnecting to the earth also reconnects you to your senses, the nature that is always in you. When you turn your senses over to nature, it heightens your awareness of everything. This list will help you get started. Use one for a while, then switch to another. Rotate a few or stick with one you like. Find what works and feels right. There's no wrong way to do this. This process helps you discern what's comfortable and doable for you. Add to this list as new ideas or variations arise. Now, there are a number of things, as you pointed out, I think I've got 52 directions in here, 52 different ways to connect. And I start with, like, David Suzuki's 30 by 30 challenge, which is to go outside 30 minutes a day for 30 straight days. And that means, and of course the seasons dictate what you can do. So, you know, you can walk, you can run, you explore, sit in nature, and basically let it have its way with you. And reconnecting to the earth is just plain good for you, and it feels good. So I suggest people go to David Suzuki. He's got terrific things to do. So besides walking, this part of the year, of course, is when the earth is awakening, when everything is growing, when creativity is at its absolute height. So, of course, there are a number of things you can do, in your yard. I don't have a yard right now, as it happens, but I'm doing a community garden with a friend of mine. I think gardening is—I always put that at the top of the list, that and walking on the earth barefoot whenever you can and when the season allows, because gardening not only puts you in touch with the earth, it calls you to it every day, and you get to see the result of your work. And it is, there's a reason why people love to be in the garden, because it just enlivens you. It, you know, there is something about it, just like standing on it, putting your feet in the dirt, that just calms you down. There's something, Ted was telling me about this the other day, that we either have negative charges or positive charges, I forget which it is, and the earth has the opposite of that. So one of the things about being in the earth is it's just plain healthy. It helps you discharge the negatives into the earth, and it heals you. And David Suzuki's got stats about, after you've been in the been outside for a while, your breathing, your heart rate slows down. It gets, you know, you become calmer, and then after a couple of hours, it gets better and better. And after 4 or 5 hours, your blood levels, you know, your immune system begins to improve. And I mean, it's because you're connecting with your life source, you know. So there are many, many ways I talk about reconnecting, walking labyrinths, doing a walking meditation, going outside at different times of the day and in different seasons. I'm living in the Midwest again after not being here for 30 years, and I love snow. I will go out, I recommend going out during a snowstorm every hour and watch how it works, watch how it quiets the earth, watch the power of nature and how gentle and gorgeous it is and how it changes the whole sound effect outside. you know, and do that at different times of the year. Do it at the solstice. Do it at the full moon. Do it at the half moon. Go outside when there's an eclipse. Just engage with what is going on around you. We're so closed up in our homes and our apartment buildings and everywhere all over the world, and we forget how enlivening, how healing, how wonderful and exciting it is to just be outside, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hear you. I just visited New York City and Chicago.
Oh.
And if you're coming from the rural area, I live in a rural area, and just upon visiting, I had to adjust. And it's a difficult adjustment with not just the busyness and the people, but literally the lack of green and green spaces when there's so much there. You really have to work to go reconnect in that space. And so it's exciting to see that there's many initiatives on the planet creating green spaces in the cities. And I got to visit a rooftop garden that was exquisite. It was incredible. And so I hear you on this healing piece. And, you know, it's way more literal. We need to take a break in just a minute here. But the part that maybe we can look at after the break is that we have this literal interdependency with our earth. And, you know, we breathe in what the tree exhales, and the tree breathes in what we exhale. And so we literally, you know, we need the earth for food. But that in itself, even when people have that in their mind, they may not hear earth calling. They may not do that wake-up piece that really helps them want to get in touch with the earth around them. And you have other things in the book that are really beautiful. So maybe we can go in that direction. But when you think about, if you could just real quickly, Ellen, we just have a couple minutes before break. What would you say to people who, I know you said everyone wakes up in their own time. What are the most powerful words we can share with one another that we really can understand this interdependent, interconnected relationship?
Well, there are several ways to do that. If you're not someone who is connected to the earth, if you're not someone who particularly cares about nature or anything, I suggest, number one, that you try it. And one of the things that changed me, because I had lived in big cities all my life, was to go to a national park. And not everybody can, you know, go to the biggies. I was able to go to Yosemite. And exactly what you were saying, that big cities, you get so distant from any sensation of that connection or even appreciation. I mean, I run into New Yorkers all the time when I'm in New York who just couldn't care less about being in nature. But at least they've got Central Park if they want to have something that will feed them. Mm-hmm. Another thing is to read books by people who change your mind about things like that. And John Muir wrote a bunch of things that absolutely shifted the way I perceive how the earth works. Because, and you know, if you can appreciate someone else's point of view, that can begin to crack your own consciousness open. And I think the more you do that, the more a new possibility can begin to form in your head. But I'd also mm-hmm. say, you know, because I'm also a spiritual director, I always ask people to ask for heaven's help. You know, I want to connect more. Show me the way, God. Show me how I can do that. Help me. And this can work through synchronicities, and this can work through, you know, I know I went into the bookstore one time looking for something that, you know, I was having a real issue with, you know, my spiritual life. And let me see something that will help me understand that. And a book literally fell off the shelf, and it was Anatomy of the Spirit. That's how I got interested in Carolyn Mace's work, and you know, the rest is history. So I think you can absolutely ask for help. And nobody knows, nobody has all the answers to everything, and I certainly don't. And I can't prescribe something that's going to work for, you know, everybody, obviously. But I do think this particular practice can work for everybody. If you're truly mm-hmm. interested in doing something and you don't know any other way to go, then ask for guidance. You know, I mean, grace is accessible to everyone. And
right.
just,
beautiful.
You know, ask heaven to help you see. Ask heaven to help you hear and to mm-hmm. feel differently, to open your
Thank
heart.
Thank you, Ellen. That is a beautiful prescription for our listeners. We're going to take a quick break. When
sure.
we come back, there's so much more with Earth Calling. And I think that we even have a few surprises here. So I'm just going to sit with that. We're going to take a quick break. When we return, more with Ellen Gunter and Earth Calling.
Come to the forest. It's a place not so far away. A place where you don't have to mow the lawn or babysit.
I saw lizards and squirrels and bugs.
Ladybugs, caterpillars. It's really cool, actually.
A place where you don't have to make time for free time.
Lots and lots of kinds of species here.
Out here, you may even meet the mysterious creature known as the other you. The enchanted you.
It's magic what flowers do.
The adventurous you.
My favorite tree, yes, is that one.
The free-to-be-me you. Ask your parents to take you to this not-so-far-away place. Come to the forest, where the other you lives. But first, stop by discovertheforest.org, a public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Before there were computer games and HDTV, cram courses and teaching to the test, there was this thing called imagination. A tool so powerful, it could transport kids on the most amazing journeys of their lives. From outer space to center field at Yankee Stadium. It is for these journeys that Destination Imagination was created. An extraordinary after-school program in creativity and teamwork for every child. At Destination Imagination, teams are formed and challenges are met with a whole lot of imagination. And while we can't guarantee it'll get your kid into Harvard or onto American Idol, we're pretty sure that Destination Imagination will be the most important journey they make this year. Maybe any year. Parents, teachers, start a Destination Imagination team by calling 888-321-1503 or visit destinationimagination.org. That's destinationimagination.org.
Mozart tones, these are so very great. Kids rejoice when Mozart's on their plate.
They know they're quite nutritious
and so delicious.
They'll lick the dishes
and soon you realize how impactful your kids involvement in the arts can be.
They'll get better grades, make more friends and express their individuality. When they learn to play some music, act or paint or dance or write creatively.
Hot from the toaster and filled with the essential creative thinking skills of an 18th century musical genius, Mozart Toasties are an important part of an arts-healthy childhood. Studies show that involvement in the arts helps kids increase test scores and promotes academic achievement. Feed your kids the arts. For 10 simple ways to learn how, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. The arts. Ask for more. Brought to you by Americans for the Arts, the NAM Foundation, and the Ad Council.
And now, back to the Dr. Julie Show, all things connected on Empower Radio.
We're back on the Dr. Julie Show, all things connected, and I'm here today with our guest, Ellen Gunter, talking about her beautiful book, Earth Calling, a Climate Change Handbook for the 21st Century, and it's way more than a handbook. It really is an inspirational piece. I encourage you to go out and check that out. And I also want you to visit our website. If you want to look for links and find the archive for this show, go to thedrjulieshow.com. All the archives are there, the links. You'll find Ellen's information there as well. Again, that's thedrjulieshow.com. And stay connected all week on our Facebook page, All Things Connected with Dr. Julie. And here we are, Ellen. Your book, Earth Calling, I know you have a Facebook page with the same name. Can you give our listeners, how can they get in touch with you personally if they want to reach out?
They are welcome to beyond the Twitter feed, which is just @EllenGunter. They're welcome to write me at my Gmail address. It's just ellencgunter@gmail.com. I'd be happy to answer questions or talk to them or however I can help them.
Okay, ellencgunter@gmail.com.
Yep.
Excellent. Thank you. And sure, you have a beautiful blog out there, too, and there's a lot going on. But one of the things we just were listening to creative PSAs during our commercial, and I love that because that's one of the things that I hear when I hear you speaking today is really as we make our connection with Earth – a connection with the divine and turn it into our spiritual practice, we do have a lot of benefits. And science is backing you up now. This this connection with science and spirituality is coming closer together, which is beautiful. And part of the science of connecting with Earth as a spiritual practice is greater intuition, greater connectivity with each other, and really creating more of an intuitive connection with all of life, greater creativity for us, like you said, problem solving. What are the other benefits for us to really practice connecting with the Earth?
Well, I think, you know, it certainly has it has helped the moral fiber of a lot of the people that have talked to me that have just said, you've given me something you know, they said, you've finally given us a direction we can go, and it's such a relief to, you know, to be able to go and, you know, to take our energy and put it somewhere, because what we're hearing on TV is so negative, and it's all political, and it's all that, you know, that other jazz that doesn't really get anywhere. And, you know, it's, and this is not really about the news that's on TV. This is a whole other way of looking at things, as you've been pointing out. So, you know, I think it just is, I go back to this over and over because it just, you know, it's true. It just, it settles you. It makes you feel better. It gives you hope about the future, because there's so much about what's going on with the climate crisis, with climate change, global warming, however you want to phrase it, that's very, very positive. And a lot of it is, has to do with business coming, kind of coming on board. But there is also a synergy, a wonderful connection between the people that you will begin to associate with and find as friends. And I have so many friends that I have made on Facebook because of the work I've done with Carolyn, the work I've done with Al Gore's group, the work I've done with the Sierra Club and 350.org, and a bunch of us who got arrested for the, you know, protesting the Keystone Pipeline in Washington, D.C. years ago. Now, everybody doesn't, they're not all fit to do that, and I'm certainly not fit to hang from the anchor of a, you know, of a giant boat like that young woman did off the Arctic Challenger, that Chiara, what was her name? Chiara Rose, I think is the way she's calling herself. You know, she hung off that thing for 66 hours to protest this giant boat going into the Arctic to, you know, to drill for oil. Not everybody can do that or wants to do that, or it's not appropriate for everybody. But there is something, there is a calling for each and every person, and there's a tremendous amount of satisfaction that comes from that. I remember a Rumi quote I had in the book that said, everyone has been made for some particular work, and the desire for that work has been put in every heart. And one of the things that we posit in Earth Calling is that we all know what we're called to do. You know it when it settles on you. You know the ones that don't really work, and you know the ones that do. When they visit you, you know you've been called. This is the overlay. This is what I've been waiting for. This fits. This feels right. And there is a joy in that, and I think it's very much connected to what we have been talking about, what we were talking about earlier. It's this, there is a joy in connecting back to your planet, you know, and it's powerful. There's a reason why nature, why trees, why being outside and meditating and being in nature has a power. I mean, Buddha very famously was sitting up against the back of a Bodhi tree when he looked over and saw the sun come up after all these years of torturing himself with, you know, self-denial and starvation and everything. And what did it was a combination of him being on the earth, having his back to a tree, and looking at the sun. And it snapped, and all of a sudden he experienced enlightenment. There's a reason why, you know, Jesus was in Gethsemane and was sweating blood sitting by the trees in Gethsemane and came to the realization of that this was where his path was going to take him. And it was the not my will, but thy will be done. Well, whether you're Christian or not, there is a huge, huge benefit and power in the act of surrender. And those of us who were involved in this issue, who have activism of all kinds of levels, and you can be an activist by you know, being on a phone bank and taking phone calls. It doesn't have to be hanging on a chain of a, you know, of the Arctic destroyer, as they call it. But finding your connection takes time. It takes your involvement. It takes a commitment. It's not going to land on you just because you want it. But the rewards of it, the spiritual rewards, the energetic rewards, the satisfaction of knowing that you're now part of this. And, you know, your descendants will be grateful to you for whatever you do, because this is changing everything. And I know there was a slogan when we were marching in New York last year, to change everything, we need everyone. And we do. And people are going to be on board with this sooner or later. And I think that those of us who are called now are the lucky ones. And everybody else is, you know, will see the wisdom of this, maybe not for generations to come, but we are the lucky ones because we're here at the beginning. We get to, you know, we get to be the pathfinders and the pioneers. We get to see this first. And there's something about that that's very, very, that's unique and very special and very powerful.
Mm. I love the word pioneers, that we do get to see this first, because literally I can imagine I'm in the pioneer country in the central part of the United States, where literally they homesteaded, you know, and it was because of their connection with the earth that they literally could go out and be so brave and so courageous. So I love when you talk about that with our role right now. And the other piece that is a benefit that I think that our listeners might have a cognitive awareness of, but maybe our words today can really deepen in, it's also that connection with our health of, you know, we're improving our health status by connecting to the earth.
Absolutely.
Can you talk about that for a few minutes?
Your health, it's interesting you bring that up, because one of the things Ted and I have been talking about recently is this whole process of earthing. I don't know if you've heard about earthing, but it's and you can get involved with it. By earthing is lying on the ground, and it's putting your feet on the ground. It's letting exactly what I was talking about earlier, letting that drain out of you. And so basically, I'm sleeping on earthing sheets right now. And earthing is, you know, you plug this little thing into the ground wire of your wall, and not the electric part at all, but in the ground wire. And basically it's made with these incredible silver threads and all this stuff. And the result of that is that I wake up, I'm 67, I wake up with no arthritis anymore and nothing like that in my back at all, or knees or anything else. And so the earth has intrinsic healing qualities. Of course it does. You know, it has to. I mean, the wisdom of all these people who gathered herbs and medicinals and all that way before there were any pharmaceuticals, it is inherent to the earth's to the earth itself, to its very, you know, its very makeup. You know, one of the reasons people talk about the rainforest being such a precious resource and one that we don't want to lose is that there are literally millions, probably more than that, possible connections, possible solutions in there for diseases that we haven't even discovered yet. And if we lose those rainforests, we are losing untold numbers of cures to things that we haven't even found out about yet. I was at my vet's the other day, and my golden retriever has a sore under right eye, and I said, well, what can I do for that? Is there something you can do to help her with that? And he said, get some Manuka honey. And I said, really? And he said, yeah. And so I'm putting Manuka honey over her eye. Well, this has been persisting for 2 years, and in 3 days, it's flattened out and it's beginning to disappear. So the health of the earth is one of the big benefits that we will hopefully realize from this, if we can cut down the fossil fuel emissions in time. But, you know, all of our food, you know, there's a whole other separate issue with, you know, what's happening with our food. And I want to praise the people of Colorado who have, I think it was in Boulder, they have banned neonicotinoids, which are a form of pesticide. And they have traced them back to being one of the big issues connected with colony collapse disorder with bees. And so it is now illegal to use that in Boulder. And so we're discovering all the kinds of ways that we can begin to retrain ourselves and to recapture the parts of the earth, the elements of the flowers and the plants that are naturally healing to us, and stop doing so much of the destruction. A lot of what we're doing is stopping destruction to restore the health that's already intrinsically there, that is just part of the natural part. It's just it's nature itself. It is what's out there. And so there are you know, all kinds of ways that we can begin to get involved in that. And then there are a ton of things in the book about how you start. And where you start may not be where you finish, and probably won't be. But a lot of people have said, well, where do I start? I'm just one person. How can I possibly help in this? And it's so big, and there's so many pieces to it. But that's the way everything changes in the world. It always starts with one person's ideas or a few people's tenacity and determination. And so start with some of the places that I talk about in the back of the book. Join up, and you don't have to reinvent the wheel. There are so many different organizations, start with what breaks your heart. What is the issue that gets under your skin that you want to see improved? And then join one of these organizations. They know what they're doing, and they can use volunteer help like crazy. And then once you do that, what begins to happen to you is that it opens you up to other things. You begin to widen your area of interest and your area of understanding. And then that will lead you to something else, which leads you to something else, which leads you to something else. And we all begin to connect like that, like veins, veins in the body. There are hundreds and thousands and zillions of them. And so just step into this process and trust it and walk with it, and it will take you where you need to go. Your job is to get involved. Just do it. Take the risk and say, okay, I'm here. I'm standing here. I'm going to get involved. What do I need to do?
I love that. Yeah, your book is full. The whole last chapter is full of organizations and places that people can get involved. But yeah, there's another beautiful little surprise in the middle before we get there is a lot of people think, oh, there's so much to do. I have to do something out there. It's so big. But literally, one of the beautiful suggestions you make is to learn your own bioregion. Really look at what the earth does right where you're at with your bioregion, and what does that mean for our water, our trash, our energy, our food, what's grown right here. And I think that's an important piece for us to really take back the health of the earth, which is our health, is to just really own our earth where we're at, like steward it into its fullest health. What can you say about learning our bioregion?
Yeah, I mean, this is an idea that's really taken hold lately, and it's a form of grassroots wisdom in my mind. That we have all these things that are out there, and what do we do about that and that country and this county and all the other stuff. But you're absolutely right. It's figure out where you live, what's going on with where you live. Where are your farmers markets? Who are the people that that deliver your eggs and your chicken and your honey and your jelly and all the other things that that you buy at a farmer's market? Get to know them and go and volunteer and pick apples and find out what they use. Do they use pesticide? If they do, what's it based in? Is that corn organic, or is it at least non-GMO corn? Just get used to asking questions and find out, where does your trash go? And is it all, in Chicago, it all goes into the same place. It's all just kind of ground up together, and they recycle as much of it as possible. But find out where your water comes from. Do you have well water? We have Lake Michigan water, which is some of the best water in the world. And it's tested, like, I don't know how many dozen times a day. How often is your water tested? How does it register for levels of lead and heavy metals and light metals and pharmaceuticals and all other kinds of things? Is it possible, or is it permitted to spray pesticides in your part of town without you knowing about it? A lot of places they'll spray pesticides at night, and if that bothers you, if that seems excessive to you, then investigate it. Find out what else you might be able to do. And so you start where you live. You start where you hang your hat at night, the part of the sky that you lie under. What is the state of your state, of your hood, the very place that you breathe and eat and where most of your food comes from? So absolutely, the more you know, I think it's all about being a smart consumer nowadays, a consumer of everything, not just food, but water and seed and energy and everything else that goes into lifestyles nowadays in the 21st century. It's very complicated. And if you start locally, and just you'll see how much, and believe me, there are tons of organizations. You can go to your city hall and get a list of the places of organizations that basically handle all these sorts of issues. And and you know, go to a village hall meeting and just go to one and just ask some questions. You'll find out really fast how deeply concerned other people already are and how much infrastructure has already been set up for this. And then just learn. I mean, it's a great thing to get to just show up and say, yeah, I don't really know very much. Just, you know, point me in a direction. I'll, you know, do envelopes or answer the phone or whatever. And learn your way up. Just learn your way up and through. And figure out then. You'll learn pretty quickly what matters to you. And you'll be shocked at how many different things there are to learn about. And, you know, it's a complicated, we live in a very, very complicated world. And the best way for me to handle that is to just break it down, take a couple of things in bite-sized stuff and say, okay, what can I do about this? How much can I, what do I know about it? Let's just start with what can I know about it? How do I educate myself? Well, there are a million ways to do that nowadays. We are very, very fortunate because we also have an interconnected thing called the Internet, which allows you to gain access to any bit of knowledge that, you know, that is out there practically. So there's no reason to not know nowadays. Anybody can know just about anything nowadays. So go for it.
So your message, the part that comes really clear today for our conversation has been that we can connect in so many different ways, and even asking for spiritual guidance for the best next steps for you. But your book, again, A Climate Change Handbook for the 21st Century, Earth Calling, beautiful book. It has, a myriad of examples of how people can get involved. Before we close, I think another beautiful piece of what you talk about here, there's so many surprises and just exquisite examples, people, references, resources, and the history making that's all here. But I would be remiss if I didn't include this small place where you talk about forgiveness. And it's really is a beautiful prescription for all of us to learn how to forgive. Why do we need to forgive, and what do we need to forgive, Ellen?
Well, I think we need to forgive. We need to forgive ourselves for being so blind for so long, and for turning the other cheek, and for ignoring the cries of the earth, because they have been manifest. There have been so many of them in so many ways. We have known about what fossil fuels have been doing to our air and our water and to the atmosphere around the earth. We have known that for some time that our agricultural practices are killing our earth. They are robbing us of nutrition, that our food is you know, it could be way, way better. That our legal system has failed us in so many ways in protecting us. And the corporations really are, you know, have a lot more power in what we eat and the way our health goes up and down than we would like to admit. So I think that what's appropriate when you have erred, when you have ignored, when you have, you know, gotten drunk at the well of this is to ask forgiveness. And so I have a forgiveness meditation in here that, you know, that I recommend for people to read if that would be helpful for them. And to just start there, just say, I participate in this. And forgiveness is an appropriate gesture, because I think it kind of begins to clear the plate and it lets you walk the next step, which is accountability. Let me be accountable for what I am doing moving forward. Let me take responsibility for my small part in this. And we're all culpable. Every one of us has participated in this. I think it's appropriate for our spirits and souls to begin there, to begin by saying, I was wrong by ignoring this. And, you know, please forgive me, you know, and ask the forgiveness of the earth. And then get involved and say, okay, but that was before, that was then, and this is now. I'm now going to be involved. I'm going to be an informed consumer. I'm going to, you know, to recycle. I'm going to eat less meat. Whatever list works for you. But I think it's appropriate to acknowledge where we have come from before we move to where we're going.
Thank you. Yeah, it's almost ceremonial, and the prayer and meditation that you have in here is really beautiful. Thank you for sharing it. Yeah. And, you know, again, our listeners, you can find that in her book, Earth Calling. It is a beautiful prayer. And the other thing that you just mentioned that I think is important for our listeners as well is that literally we all have to find our own unique expression of this. And yes, there are 1,001 or 1,000,001 or 1,000,000,001, like you talk about 7 billion ways that we can wake up to this and begin to create a daily practice. But we do need to design that in a way that's really resonant with our own selves. Yes. I have a quote here from the book that I'd love to read before we close and then just get your last words. But this is about the alchemy of action, and your words are even poetic in here. And we talked about the 7 billion people. So I want to read this here and just put this out on the airwaves because it's so powerful. On some level, we know what we are being called to do. Each of us has a mystical fingerprint that identifies our life's calling and an inner music whose pull we cannot resist. That mystical fingerprint is unique and powerful. It beckons in a way that may be soft, but is always undeniable. If we would listen and look around, we find ourselves surrounded by others on the same journey of discovery, breathing together with us. The reason is simple, because like you, as they look around their lives and saw a need, they couldn't not act. This is often how our spirits wake up, not with a shrill alarm, but with sudden understanding of the simple but profound ways that calling shows up. And there are about 7 billion ways it can reveal itself. Oh, Ellen. I don't know what it feels like to listen to your own words, but when I read that, I was so inspired. I'm going to use that as a Facebook post this afternoon to talk about the show again. We have just a few minutes to close. It's been a delight to have you on the show and to talk about Earth Calling. And again, I just want to remind our listeners, if they want to get in touch with you, you can find Ellen. Email her at ellencgunter@gmail.com. Look up the Facebook page, Earth Calling, and find it on Amazon or any big book distributor. So Ellen, if you had a billboard, I'm going to make you work. If you had one billboard you could put up anywhere or everywhere on the earth, what would you want that billboard to say?
Love your mother, and then have a picture of the earth.
Beautiful. I saw that you posted that for Mother's Day. It was very touching.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah. Ellen, thank you. I could do a whole series with you because there's so much good stuff here. I really appreciate you coming on the show with us today.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. Thank you so much, Julie.
Oh, yes. My pleasure indeed. And again, you can find more about Ellen or listen to this archive. Share it with your friends on thedrjulieshow.com, or all the archives are on Empower Radio right there for you. Very easy to get to. Again, we've been talking with Ellen Gunter from Earth Calling, a climate change handbook for the 21st century. And it is brilliant, with her co-author Ted Carter. Thanks again, Ellen. We look forward to sharing more of your work on social media in the days to come.
Thank you. Thanks, Julie.
You bet. Thank you, listeners. We'll see you all right back here next week. Bye-bye.